ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's Monday, and that means we'll have our man Jim Traber coming up at 9:30. Pick his brain about all kinds of different subjects. College football playoff committee announcement that happened after our show. Ended on Friday. No expansion for at least the end of the TV contract. Phil versus the PGA Tour. Feels like Phil Mickelson is one of the guys that's deeply involved with the Saudis with some different things going over the weekend. Oh, you know, it's your baseball play well. Oklahoma State took 2 of 3 on the road at number 3 Vanderbilt. I bet Jim's got plenty to say about that. I'll ask him about the Thunder. How many wins is too much the rest of the way? And what happened yesterday in Madison, Wisconsin with Juwan Howard losing his mind, throwing a slap or a punch or whatever you want to call that at an assistant for Wisconsin. Those are some of the things that I want to get Jim's thoughts on. I'm sure Jared's got a list as well. After that, though, it's high school hoops, man. We are right in the midst of it with Class A and B regionals finishing today for a couple of those areas that got postponed last Thursday. So there's still games tonight. We'll tell you who's playing and where, and some of the others wrapped up. And so we know – well, we know two area games, times, dates, opponents, but we'll have to wait for everything today to be able to round that out, at least for the Paragon schools, and then some were eliminated over the weekend as well. So that's what's on the docket. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698, give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with us by logging on to KADSAM.com or download the app. Paragon Communications app has all things. 3 radio stations. It's got the Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV as well, where you can watch all the games. We'll tell you when and where tonight and this afternoon, actually. There's going to be games all over the Paragon TV network. And the Skinny on Sports podcast, if you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check it out there on KADSAM.com or iTunes. Hello, Jared.
How are we?
I'm fine. How was your weekend?
Busy. You mentioned basketball. A lot of basketball. Friday, of course, Friday night, Saturday afternoon. took advantage of the nice weather yesterday. Outside a lot with the kiddos. So, just, you know, fun and busy. How's yours?
It was nice. Saturday, played golf. Saturday afternoon, around noon. And then went to a birthday party. One of our best listeners, Will Malloy, 40, turned 40, joined the 40 club.
Just threw that out there, did you?
Yeah. Well, guess what? It's all over. All over the social media. I can't stop that. I'm not doing anything that hasn't been done before. And we had a good time. Saw a lot of people, some people I hadn't seen in a while. It was fun. Right over there down the street from you. So
good deal.
It was a good time there on Saturday. And then yesterday, recovered. Went to church and recovered after that.
Just took it easy.
That's right.
Very good.
Did some things around the house and ready to go for the week. Now, let's go back to Friday. 2A through 4A district tournaments started on Friday. I don't know what to say other than the two games I witnessed were beatings. Woodward was just way better than Elk City on Friday night. Elk City girls hung in there a little bit better than what the boys did as far as just the spread. You know, it was like a 7-point game, maybe mid to late third quarter, and then Woodward just turned it on and knocked off the Elkettes, 56-32. And then the boys' game was over almost before it started. You look up, and it was 21-4 at the end of the first quarter. Woodward was making shots, and the Elks just had no answer. And so both teams fall into the consolation bracket. They'll play up at Kingfisher at 1:30 and 3 on Thursday. Hera will be the opponent. Hera lost their district tournament to Kingfisher. And so, you know, now you're to that situation where either you win or you're done, you know. And when you look around at what else happened on the boys' side, especially, just because of playing games against teams, you know, we've already seen Kingfisher, already seen Bethany. Unfortunately, for the Big Elks, Bethany lost in district, and that's a team that handled Elk City pretty easily. So that's a team that dropped down in the consolation bracket. You really kind of were hoping not to see, to be honest. And then, of course, you know, there's always that chance Woodward's back down in that bracket after playing number one Kingfisher on Thursday. I don't know. I was impressed with Woodward. You know, it's always looks better when the ball goes in the hole, and it went in the hole a bunch for the Boomers. through. And then, the girls, they just pressure you, and it's like their strength against the Elkettes' weakness, and that strength won out. So Elk City just turned the ball over way too much and couldn't get enough offense generated. So 130-3 for Elk City against Hera up at Kingfisher on Thursday. Now, as I was watching those games, you were updating each other on what the scores was. Tell us about, before we even get to Saturday, what happened in the fourth quarter of the Canute Union City girls game. Yeah. You sent me what was down 11 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was 29-18 after the end of the third quarter. Union City leading the Canute girls, and you know, backs against their wall, one quarter away from the season being over.
And quite frankly, another season cut way shorter than what we really thought, yeah. or definitely what the ability is.
But man, they came roaring out. The Trojanettes did out of the gate. Quick score, quick turnovers, quick score. I mean, and all of a sudden you blink, and it's a single-digit lead and all the momentum is clearly on Canute's side. Long story short, they ultimately hold on to win 41-39, and it came down back and forth. Just watch that final minute, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It was wild, and credit Kylie Smith. She started that game hot. They kind of clamped down on her for the middle quarters there, second and third. And then she said, enough of this. I'm taking over here in this fourth quarter. And she started that fourth quarter, and I said it on air. She's going to end this game like she started it. And just pure athleticism is, you know, I go on and on every time we report about Canute, about Kylie Smith and her athleticism. And she knew she was the better athlete out there, and she took it over. And credit those girls for having the mental toughness. That was at the end of the day Saturday, and we'll talk about that coming up. But at the end of the day Saturday, talking with fans and parents, the resounding theme to this weekend was tough. That they were physically and mentally tough because they had their backs against the wall and they refused to let their season end over in Hydro twice, basically, because that's a game on Saturday was tough too, or a tough out. So they got the two wins, but that Friday night game, I mean, one could have easily folded up 10. They've been just not in the cards. We're only able to muster 18 points in three quarters, and then they just blew up. So good job, girls. And then do you want me to talk about Saturday boys on Friday night? What was that final? I'm sorry. Right. I left my score sheet downstairs, so I'm relying on others. Boys also played Union City. It was close through three quarters, maybe two and a half quarters, and then Canute pulled away. Really not much to say. You look at the score, 60-39, and they just pulled away, hit more shots than the other team. Kind of a boring game at the end of the day, you know. And then turned into Saturday afternoon, Canute girls taking on
Sterling.
Thanks for the help there, bud. Sterling. And that game, man, you talk about a physical game. Let me go back. Jade Gray twisted up her ankle on Friday night against Union City. I mean, the storylines were just everywhere this weekend for this regional. She twisted her ankle, and, you know, that Canute team is already thin. If she wasn't going to give it a go on Saturday, that was going to be real worrisome. When I got there and I'm setting up, and you know me, I like to get to where I'm going real early. Got there before the team. They walk in. She makes eye contact with me, and I just look at her and said, "You good to go?" And she goes, "I'm good to go." And that's all I needed to hear. And she gave it a go. She finished with 8 points, but hit a big three-pointer in the fourth quarter against Sterling. And that kind of sparked them to help them pull away in that one. And they would win that one 56-41. But, I mean, Sterling plays in-your-face, tough, physical defense. And based on – and I'm not one to say we don't do this. We don't blame officials for anything. But based on what crew you get, if they'll allow that to happen, that, you know, the other team has to adjust and has to survive that, and that's what Canute did. Again, that word tough comes back into play because they were getting mauled by these Tigers from Sterling, and Canute survived that one too. So good out right there by the Canute girls and the boys. They took on Burns Flat. It's never fun to play a team the third time in a season. They already beat them twice, the second time just a week ago, winning in the district championship over Burns Flat. Burns Flat would not go away. They would get within single digits a couple times in the fourth quarter. Canute had to hit the shots when they needed to hit them, hit their free throws, and Burns Flat turned in, you know, had to start fouling. And they'll win a grinder 52-40. So both teams moving on to the area tournament. A lot of momentum for both squads based how that weekend went. I mean, it could have been really gone really bad. And they turned around and you know, how Thursday night happened. And then they turn around and get a couple wins to continue their season, which you and me have talked about. It's so big to play deep in the playoffs. And now they get some extra practices. And who knows what can happen. Get a couple wins and put yourself in a position to maybe punch your ticket. But we'll see. They got some tough games coming up, though. Tough games. Girls take on Oklahoma Christian Academy. And the boys will take on Calumet. Boys who are traditionally both very, very good.
Yeah, so those are the two that we know in area so far. Everyone else has to finish up
tonight
and this afternoon, actually. Some other scores from around the area. Merritt won their district, both teams. The Oilerettes easily over Fairview, 46-17. They get Watonga at 6:30 at Fairview on Thursday. That is in the regional tournament. For the boys, nail biter. But they won at 47-36. Oh, I thought I saw 47-46. Never mind, 11-point win. I thought I saw a 1-point win at one point. Anyway, Merritt wins district as well, and they also face Watonga. Other teams in that regional are Hooker and Sayre. Both Hooker teams got by. Sayre was able to knock off Cordell for boys and girls. So all four teams are the same in the winner's bracket up there in that 2A regional tournament. Sayre and Hooker go to Hooker, and Merritt and Watonga will play at Fairview, and the main site's Fairview as well. So just the one night at Hooker, and then everything else is back to Fairview there in that 2A. Also on Saturday, Paragon TV Schools, Eric's season ended both for the girls and boys in the regional consolation final. The girls were knocked out by Blair 23-15. The boys lost 51-36. So Eric stops one game away from an area tournament appearance. In your regional, the girls' game, the regional final on Saturday night, was one heck of a game. Hydro Weekly and Navajo. Navajo had a 2-point lead late, and they missed a shot. Hydro got it back and tied it. And then with 8 seconds left, Navajo had a shot to take the lead. They missed it, and Hydro rushed it right back down. And got a bump at the buzzer to win by 60-58. So Hydro Weekly, the girls looking for a three-peat there into the area final. Navajo now drops down in the consolation bracket. On the other side, that would be the opponent for Canute, right? If both teams win Thursday, it's Navajo and Canute would be the next game, and then play into play the loser of the area finals on Friday night. Let's see, that's Hydro Weekly and
I had that bracket.
Surreal.
It is surreal.
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 Because yeah, they beat Oklahoma Christian.
They beat Oklahoma Christian.
All right, so that's what happened. I'll tell you what, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and discuss what we have on the plate for today and kind of look forward through the week as far as where we're going to be, what's going to be going on. Because we know four teams will join the Canute teams in area no matter what happens tonight. Leedy boys, Hammond girls, both Arapahoes. Then there's some other teams that might be able to punch their area tournament tickets as well. So that's what happened over the weekend in the high school basketball. What's left? So normally on a Monday, everything's kind of stopped and you get recharged and wait on Thursday. That's not the case, at least this week, because of the snow from last Thursday. There's still a few of the regional tournaments that are left to finish in Class A and B, Areas 1 and 2. We're more focused on Area 1 because that's where a lot of the Paragon teams will be playing. So, today we have, at 1:30, Class B Girls Regional Consolation Final up in Hammond. It's going to be Leedy versus Tyrone. That's 1:30. You can watch that one right here on ParagonTV.com. Immediately following that one, the boys' regional consolation final would be Hammond versus Indiahoma. That's at 3 o'clock. So both those games at Hammond. 1:30 for the Leedy girls against Tyrone. 3 o'clock for the Leedy boys versus Indiahoma. Tonight, we've got regional final action all over the Paragon TV network. Over in Arapahoe in Class A girls' action, you'll have Arapahoe Butler versus Turpin. Immediately following that one, Arapahoe Butler and Texoma. That's Class A regional finals from Arapahoe, and then back up at Hammond tonight, Lady Warriors take on Boise City, and then the Leedy Bison follow against Tyrone. So six games. Is that, did I get everybody, Jared? I think there's six today.
I think you got them all.
On the Paragon TV network. Hammond boys, Leedy girls fighting for their seasons. The others playing regional finals to try to take that last step into the area final and be one win away from a state tournament appearance. You can find all these games, all the schedules, on Paragon TV's Facebook page. We post those daily. Once we know the matchups, the times, we'll have that posted where you can watch it. And there's even a nice little link straight to the page if you go on Paragon TV's Facebook page. It's right there. Just kind of some other action that's going on today. In the same area that Arapahoe Butler and their teams are in, one of those boys' consolation finals is Shattuck versus Sealing. And the other is Frontier and Moreland. So, you know, there's some good teams that aren't going to make it to the area tournament. You know, if you look at what's going on there. The other regional championship game, you got Arapahoe Butler and Texoma in one regional. The other one, Visalia and Garber. You know, we talked about that regional, that area before the thing started. I mean, you just look at the matchups that are left and you're just going, good grief.
Yeah.
You know, that's... it's a lot of really good teams that are playing right there. On the girls' side, Thomas is playing Drummond as well. That's a regional consolation final over there at Arapahoe today at 1:30. So the winner of that one will move on to the area tournament. So there's kind of some local flavor that's still playing. And then also another couple of regional championship games in Class B. Arnett and O'Keen, the winner of that will play the Hammond winner. In the area tournament, in the area final to go to the state tournament. And then also the regional championship game in that same area, Mountain View Goaty Bow boys versus Goodwell. They'll play the winner of Leedy and Tyrone for a spot in the state tournament coming up on Friday night. So lots of local teams, lots of local flavor, still playing really, really well in the high school basketball playoffs.
Yeah, it's exciting to know, you know, the possibility of getting some teams – you know, deep into the area tournament and possibly get into the state. My big question now is this coming impending weather at the end of the week. Me and my wife are having this discussion of the what if scenarios. Like, well, they could delay it a day or whatever. She goes, well, aren't they starting the state tournament earlier into the next week? Like, that's a good point.
That is the one hiccup, because if it was just Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then sure, you know, you could go to Monday. That's happened before. But, yeah, when you got a Monday, and then what if you would have a Tuesday?
Imagine a team, let's say Canute is able to win three in a row, but because the tournament's delayed, you're playing three games. So on a Friday, Saturday, Monday, and then turn around and play on a Tuesday, that's a lot. That's asking a lot, but I don't know. I was racking my brain. What would be the solution because of this weather? And, it's still a little far out, so that as far as the bullseye where all this ice could be and impending travel and all that stuff, you know, could they possibly move it, the location, to get it out of, you know, get more of a safer area but still neutral enough for teams? I don't know. I'm just spitballing ideas out there.
Yeah, and I do – even though they obviously don't want to do this because they laid out the state tournament in a 5-day format, I still believe you could do it in four. if you wanted to give everybody Tuesday off, and just then you just change to where everybody in Class A plays one day, everybody in Class B plays another day, and then your Friday semifinals are the customary 8-game days. The problem is now that's what you're doing. You're having 24 games in 3 days, which for the folks, you know, the teams, they're just playing, you know, every day, or one of them might play 3 in a row like normal. But it's the other folks that is long days for. But if you're trying to give, you know, take away that disadvantage, if the weather moves in and it has to be delayed, that could be a solution. Just jumble everything up to Wednesday. I mean, because it's obvious you can pull off 8 games in a day. We've seen it for years on the Friday afternoon in the semifinals. You know, you start at 9, you end at 9, and, you know, you just play. Mm-hmm. It's not ideal, I'm sure. Not what they want to do, I'm sure. But if or maybe they can reshuffle who starts when, depending on who would have the trouble. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Try to make sure that anybody finishing on Monday, they wouldn't have to play till Wednesday. At the earliest, you know, for a first-round game. So there's different ways that they can accomplish that and still probably keep the 5-day state tournament model. But I think there's going to – I don't know if half the regional or half the areas being postponed would allow for that. If it was just one, then I think you could maneuver that around. But if it's multiple classes and multiple areas – then maybe that other solution might be the one that gives everybody as fair a shake as possible. Or maybe you just don't care that it's all of Class A playing. I mean, that creates problems down the road, though, when you might have a team playing 2 days in a row, another one had a day off or whatever. But at the end of the day, it may just get to be not fair. You know what I mean? Sorry about your luck. We'll try to do whatever we can, but at the end of the day, it may just not work out. And, you know, That would be tough for especially for teams that are going to be going all the way through it, like a Canute or some, you know, whoever loses tonight in some of those area or regional finals,
right?
That set up a 3-game area as opposed to somebody that would just fall on the area final and then have to play 2 instead of 3. It's a little bit different, but also they may be just thinking, you know what, these kids are 15 to 18 years old; they got plenty of energy. You know, I mean,
maybe I'm being selfish and thinking for myself, like, man, those are long days, or, you know, but yeah, you're right. The kids are, but you don't want to, you know, you got to think of player safety. And
well, and the truth of it is, no matter what, in that scenario, that if it's a team coming all the way through, they're going to play somebody that just played one game and just won either Friday or Saturday, depending on how the postponements would go. And so that's going to create a pretty big disadvantage with a team playing 4 games in 5 days versus a team that played once.
Right. So this weather we're talking about, if you're unaware, it's supposed to kick up be Wednesday and Thursday. Obviously Thursday, the day we're talking about here. And the locations of it, it's not so much for our area. We're kind of like
it's really kind of the inverse of what it was last week.
Right.
Because last week, the further north you had to go, you got postponed.
Right.
And if you're headed south of I-40, you were in great shape. It's kind of the opposite of that this time. It feels like, you know, from, you know, Canute, Clinton, Elk City back west and north, kind of out of the woods. And then, you know, maybe started Enid, draw a line down to Lawton or so, kind of. And then anywhere from there, east and southeast, it feels like from McAllister to Ada, kind of in that corridor is where the most, or the chance for the most accumulation of ice, I guess, is where that's at. And everybody else will get a dusting of snow. I mean, it doesn't
trace of snow.
Maybe it's more of an ice thing. And
it's the ice thing that's down south. Is they're calling for about a 60% chance in Lawton for a mix of snow and rain, ice, sleet, whatever.
Yeah, I noticed
all the above.
I noticed that just the one map I saw, the graph of a map, Kingfisher was kind of right on the edge of okay, not okay, but not in the big time part. It was all southeast of Oklahoma City where they were really worried about the most accumulation of it. So we'll keep you posted. I know that. And You know, anymore, it feels like those decisions get made on Wednesday before anybody even hits the road.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's something that we'll obviously
try to think of other areas. To monitor. You know, we're talking about cash. One and two are ones in Woodward.
Yeah, Enid for Class A.
Enid Class A.
It's Enid Cash, Woodward, Chickasha. The Chickasha one would
be probably the worst
spot. I really think it's going to be more of the like area fours that are over the southeast.
That's more the bullseye.
Yep.
But even a little bit of ice can cause some delays. You don't want people traveling on this stuff, and if the roads aren't good enough, and then there's the question of having power. I don't think it's going to come to that. I don't think it's going to be that severe. But my main concern is if they delay this thing, how are they going to delay it?
That's right.
So
yeah, and how do they delay it? And then what does it do to next week?
Or would they move it up to beat the storm?
Well, problem is it's Wednesday.
Yeah, don't do it on Wednesday or Sundays.
Well, yeah, that's true. But it's going to start on Wednesday, too. So you're going to move it to tomorrow?
Nah.
That makes it pretty hard to get done. Joined now by the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock right here on these airwaves. It's the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
I'm all right, fellas. How's everything in Western Oklahoma?
It's really warm and nice right now. I've actually got shorts on and enjoying the it was like 55 degrees this morning when I walked out of the house. And it's going to change here pretty quick. So everybody's kind of we're trying to figure out what are scenarios in case the basketball playoffs get kind of postponed around heading into this weekend and then, of course, the state tournament next week, how it's all going to work if the weathermen are right with some of this ice coming in.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Every day changes in Oklahoma. Okay, can I start off the show today by asking you guys a question?
Yes.
Why is LeBron praising Sam Presti? Did you guys see
that? Yeah, I saw that. He was spouting off. Did you see that, Aaron?
No.
You didn't see it?
I totally missed this.
Somebody asked him about Josh Giddey.
LeBron went on and on about how Sam Presti's one of the best there is, and he talked about all the players he brought in. And I'm just wondering. Okay, you know, LeBron's son, Bronny.
Yeah.
Supposedly, from what I understand, he's not really an NBA player. Okay? I mean, I don't know for now. He's really young. But he says he wants to play until the end of, he wants to play. His last year, he wants to play with his son.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if he's setting this up to that Oklahoma City is going to be the place that they play with each other.
Now, that would be unbelievable.
Well, I mean, I'm just wondering, why did LeBron go on this? I mean, he was asked about Giddey, but he could have just said, yeah, Giddey's a really good young player, but he went on and on and on. Skinny, you got to listen to it.
Okay.
I mean, it's unbelievable. He goes on and on about how great he is, Sam Presti, and all the players that he brought in, and blah, 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 and Italian evaluator. And I'm just sitting there thinking, LeBron James does not say things unless there's a meaning to them. We would all agree with that.
Oh,
right?
100%.
I mean, unless he's talking about China, yeah. And then he just lies through his teeth.
Yeah.
But seriously, I mean, why did he do that? What was the reasoning behind that?
So do you?
I'm lost.
So do you think? So you're thinking he's almost trying to play some kind of Jedi mind trick on Presti to talk him in to drafting Bronny? Because that's what I've heard. I've read that if it wasn't LeBron James's kid, there wouldn't really be a lot of serious talk about him being able to bolt right to the NBA.
Well, let's look at it this way, okay? It's going to be 2024, I think, would be the year that he's ready to go, right? Because next year he's a senior in high school,
mm-hmm.
And then maybe they'll get rid of that law. Maybe he can come another year. But here's the deal. What if the Thunder are still floundering around?
Yeah.
All right? Maybe they're better, obviously, but they're still not a great team. What would be better to put people in the seats if LeBron James came to Oklahoma City and played with his son? I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just wondering, like I said, LeBron never says something if there's not a meaning behind it. And I'm wondering why he did a dissertation on how great Sam Presti is.
I thought part of the story was he named off all the players and he didn't mention Harden.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. That was funny. It was really funny that he didn't say that.
When you started that, I was just sure you were going to end with, and he didn't say Westbrook.
No, that's one of the first he said. Durant, Westbrook, Jeff Green. He went on and on, but he didn't mention Harden.
By the way, did you guys see that meme on the internet? I don't know if you guys saw it, where you know that commercial they got now where LeBron's talking to himself when he was young, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that's a really cool commercial, I think. I don't know about you guys, but I think that is really cool. I don't know how they do that, but it's really cool. And the meme has the two of them sitting there, and LeBron's, you know, kind of talking to him, and he says, "If Westbrook calls, don't pick it up."
Ouch.
I love that.
Well, and you know what's weird is it's almost the only guy that can trade that contract, it feels like, is Presti, and then the way that Russ has moved around. But then you hear the reports. I got the sense that the Lakers were almost to the point of taking about anything for him just to get rid of him and maybe restart something this year. And then you hear, well, LeBron nixed the trade at the end, right up at the deadline. So that, I don't know. That's just such a weird pairing. And I guess those guys like each other, but it's just it doesn't work on the basketball floor. I can promise you that.
There's a bunch of people in my lifetime that I've liked that I sure as heck wouldn't want to be doing my radio show with.
Yeah.
So this whole like thing is a joke, and this is a problem for the NBA, if you ask me, because I really like that guy. I want to go play with him. Well, we've seen Harden supposedly likes all the players that he's playing with. He don't want any part of them, right? To play.
Yeah, yeah. He's. I don't know.
I don't know. I just. First of all, if they let LeBron James decide on his son getting drafted when maybe he shouldn't be, and he gets to go and play with him, that'll be ridiculous for the league. I'm sorry. I mean, come on. I just think that's absurd. You're going to draft somebody because he's somebody's son? I know that's happened in baseball. I've talked about this before. Like, you know, Dale Barra, he was not a big league baseball player, but he made it to the big leagues because his dad was Yogi Barra. So there are times where guys get there, they get a better chance. But, I mean, I don't even know. I just saw the screen that they said he's like the 43rd-ranked prospect of that draft. So I guess that means he's a second-round pick. So I guess maybe Sam Presti takes him in the second round and then brings in LeBron.
Oh, my gosh. Though. Too bad this isn't like 8 years ago.
Listen closely, fellas. Do you think I've ripped the Thunder in the past? I will obliterate the Thunder if they do that. I guarantee you, it will be absurd, because that to me it's like a clown show. I'm sorry. Now maybe LeBron's son will end up being really good. I don't know, but it doesn't look like he's going to be really good.
At least and if his last name was something other than James, who knows if he'd even be drafted.
Yeah, and it's not like you're doing this when LeBron is 32. By that point, LeBron will be almost 40. It's not quite the same. Not quite the same guy. I want to stay in the NBA because we're here at the All-Star break, but it's not the halfway point. The Thunder only have 24 games left. They have 18 wins with 24 to go. How many wins is too many in your mind from here on out?
One. Look, if they could go 4-20, that would be good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that'd probably be about right. That would be 22 wins. Wasn't there over-under at the beginning of the year, 22.5?
I think it was, like, yes.
Yeah, so that's probably about right. By the way, Vegas knows a little bit more than people think they do about this kind of stuff. But that would be good. But listen, this is a key time now, fellas, because they're out of the top three. They're not catching the top three. But they can't drop to, like, 5 or 6. I mean, they got to stay right there at number 4. And it's going to be interesting to see what some of these other teams do, you know, whether they're going to tank it harder or I don't know what they're going to do. But I think they've made a big mistake by not fighting their tails off to be the third team. But if they're 4, I guess that, you know, maybe they'll get a little bit of luck. But it does look like that there's 3 guys in this draft that are all really impressive. So I got a feeling, fellas, that there's a couple dudes in this draft at the top of it that are superstars. So you really like to see him. And by the way, the Mobley kid, they got unlucky about that last year. So anyway, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see them not win any more games the rest of the year. But if they could go 4-20 the rest of the way, go eight have 22 wins, that'd be about 22-50. That'd be about good. Because like I said on the radio, guys, this is the last year of tanking. They can't tank anymore. They're going to be too good. They can't. Next year they're not going to be. And when I say too good, I mean they're not going to be able to try to tank all the way at the bottom. Doesn't mean that automatically they're going to be like, you know, a playoff team. But I don't think there's any doubt that next year, if they're healthy and they get a good draft pick this year, that they'll have a chance to fight to be one of those play-in games. My problem is, fellas, as you all well know, I have a bad feeling that they might be fighting to be a playoff team for the next 5 years. And that, to me, I don't want that. I don't want that. I want them to try to get to a high level.
Yeah.
For me, there, and me and Aaron have talked about this, there's an art to tanking. How would you tank if you're the Thunder, if you're Dagnall, if you're the MVP Presti? How would you approach that for this last quarter of the season to not win games? Because you mentioned it, that they're so talented, it's hard for them to try to lose.
Well, for me, it's simple, and they haven't done it all year long. If they're down by 4 points with 5 minutes to go, Kendrick Williams isn't seeing the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they keep bringing him in at the end of a game to play. I mean, I'm sorry. Don't play him. You know, Muscala's out now, but he was another one that I wouldn't play. I mean, are you kidding me? I wouldn't be playing Dort. And remember they said they were going to slow down on Dort's minutes, and in the very next game he played 40?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as hard as you think. It really isn't, Jared. You without looking bad, you know what I'm saying? Just if you play Dort 31 minutes instead of 37 minutes, well, that's 6 minutes where you got somebody else on the floor that's not as good as him. Kendrick Williams, instead of him playing 19 minutes, play him 13 minutes. I mean, you can do it very subtly. But I don't know, man. They keep bringing close game. Here comes Kendrick Williams. And if you look at it, fellas, his plus-minus is like the best on the team. That's not a mistake. So, I mean, that's the way you got to do it. I think at times they've done a good job. At times they haven't done a good job. But the thing about tanking is, fellas, you need to sell out. You need to go all in. You know, Philly's in a place right now. It took them a long time, there's no doubt. But Philly is in a place right now because they went all in. And I don't think the Thunder have gone all in. I really don't. I think that they want to try to win some games, but they want to do this. Well, you can't. You got to go all in.
Yeah, they're just caught. They're caught in between a lot of times. And, you know, looking at their schedule, they got 24 left. 8 of these games are games they absolutely cannot win against the bottom teams that are kind of surrounding them. 16 of them are against teams that are fighting to be in the playoffs. To me, the easiest way to do it is in those 8 games, go up, you know what, Dort and Bazley and so-and-so, Giddy maybe even, yeah, they have some kind of non-COVID illness. They're not playing tonight, and you're going to get a full-bore Alexei Pokuševski against the bad teams that you might be able to beat. And then if you want to play some of those other guys a few minutes against the good teams that you probably won't beat anyway, to me, that's the way that you can really kind of finagle yourself around to give you your best chance to lose going into the game before it ever tips off.
Yeah, they play Orlando twice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Orlando twice. I think Portland twice.
You got at the worst. You have to split with Orlando. You mm-hmm. cannot. You can't win both of those games. But I don't know. I mean, look, it's almost over, and then you know next year we'll have to start. Trying to figure out how good they're going to be down the road. But boy, it would be really good if they could get one of these big men. I mean, they're not going to get the Smith kid from Auburn. But if they could get Banchero or Holmgren, that would be really, really good, guys. I mean, that's what they need, right? They don't need any more guards. They got 80 billion guards.
Yeah. The Jabari Smith would look pretty good in a Thunder uniform.
He's going to look good in any
of them. That's exactly right. Yesterday, after that game up in Madison, Wisconsin, a little bit of a melee. Juwan Howard's taken some abuse for his part in it. What did you see there at that end of the game between Michigan and Wisconsin?
Crazy guys, I that I'm not real high on college basketball anymore, and I was watching that fine Oklahoma State baseball squad.
Mm-hmm.
I turned it over there just to watch the end of that game. I don't know why. It's almost like it was a godsend that I was supposed to go over there.
And I couldn't believe what Juwan. Look. What the coach from Wisconsin did was wrong. It's one of those unwritten rules, okay, that a lot of people don't like. But Juwan Howard did not have to handle it that way. Juwan Howard's upset because his team's not very good. He's a competitor. He did a really good job there, but a couple years ago, and I think last year too. But they're down this year, so it's hard for him to take. He just got his butt kicked in the second half by Wisconsin, so he's upset about it. But he could have handled it in a totally different way. And then for him to punch that dude in the face, that assistant, I don't know what the assistant said. We'll probably find out. I mean, unless it was some racial thing, which I can't imagine an assistant coach would say something racial to you. But if he did, then that dude should be suspended too. But I don't know. I mean, I think Juwan, some people are wanting him fired. I think that's a little bit too far. I don't think you fire a guy for making doing something like that. But I don't think there's any doubt that he should be suspended. You know, he's reaching out and hitting that dude in the face. I mean, there's no need for that, really. So it's just a shame that it had to end that way. And, Juwan Howard looks ridiculous right now. He really does.
Yeah, I don't think he needs to be fired, but a suspension. I mean, if anybody else on the floor punched somebody, they'd be suspended. So he has to be able to take that punishment as well. You mentioned Oklahoma State baseball. I had that on the list. They go to Vanderbilt, take 2 of 3 from the number 3 team in the country. I saw one of the polls come out. OSU moved from 7 to 4. Just talk about that win, and then also Oklahoma winning 2 out of 3 down in Houston against a plethora of different teams.
Yeah, I mean, I'll
start with OU. I heard from a person that knows the game said that OU's not going to be very good, so that's a nice start for them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how good Auburn is. Who's the other team?
Arizona beat them, and then they beat Michigan yesterday.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are some name teams. Usually Michigan plays good baseball. Auburn usually,
anybody in the SEC usually is pretty good. So that's a nice situation for them to go down there. And then as far as OSU is concerned, I mean, that is just, guys, on the road, number 2 or number 3 team in the country. They're loaded up. And to lose game 1.
Mm-hmm.
You lose game 1, don't even score a run. And I'm sure OSU fans are thinking, oh, here we go again. Remember last year, Vanderbilt just pummeled them, really. I mean, and they come back and win game 2 and 3. And listen, almost blew the game yesterday. They had a great chance, to win the game. And here comes Vanderbilt back, bring it within 1 run. And I thought OSU did a great job. So that's a really nice start for them. I'm telling you, OSU, man, they're loaded up, guys. They've got some good young freshmen. They've got some great transfers. The portal really, it hurt them a little bit, but it helped them immensely. So I think OSU's got a chance. The Big 12, Texas is really, really good. And I think OSU is really good. So that's going to be a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. Time for OSU to get back to where they should be, and that's the College World Series.
It's late February. Is it too early to ask about softball? If you watched any OU or OSU going?
You can't even sit down to watch OU. The game's over in like 3 innings. I mean, you can't even get situated with them. They're just unbelievable. And I know OSU had a tough loss the other day, but they're really good too. So it's incredible how good these two softball programs are. And I mean, I just can't believe what Patty Gasso's doing. This is a powerhouse. A couple of years, I think it was the year before last, or maybe even last year, I said on the air that I think Patty Gasso may be the best coach in the history of OU at her sport. And, of course, people got on to me because, why? Because football is so much more important. I didn't say the most important coach. I said the best coach.
Yeah.
And, I'll keep arguing it. I think she is. I mean, people are going to go back to, Bud Wilkinson, and obviously, you got some other coaches, the gymnastic coach, Williams. I mean, there's a bunch of good ones. But what she's doing, fellas, she's pulling people. I mean, people that are supposed to be good. So they're loaded, man. I mean, they're so, so good. Then they get this freshman girl come up. What'd she punch out, 14 the other day?
Yeah, 14 against the number 3 team in the country.
Yeah.
That's a true freshman.
Yeah, they're loaded, dude. They are absolutely loaded. I'll be shocked if they don't win another one. But I'm really happy for Kenny Gajewski, too. I mean, it's a tough deal when you're going against a team like that that's just down the road. But he's doing a great job at OSU, too. So this will be a fun. I think it's going to be a fun sport. I hope OU's good in baseball. It would be really good to have all 4 of them good in baseball and softball. I mean, all 4 teams, but both of them good in baseball and softball. That'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be a fun spring.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last year at that time. You had both OU and OSU men's golf where it looked like they might be on a collision course, and then the softball was all happening in the same week, and we were dreaming of Bedlam series to finish, and it didn't quite happen that way. But both OU and OSU look like, you know, Oklahoma City and into that College World Series on the women's side, and then we'll see about OU. But OSU obviously is off to a great start in baseball. You want to go college football playoff, or do you want to go Phil Mickelson versus the PGA Tour?
Phil Mickelson's such an idiot, man. I mean, the things that he said, the heck is wrong with him, man? You know, I mean, I'm serious. Look, this whole Saudi thing was all well and good, but for him to say some of the things that he said, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, he acts like he wants to be all on his own. You know what? I think you guys have heard me say this. I can't stand renegotiating of a contract.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to sign a contract, deal with it. If you're better than you thought, then deal with it. And if you're worse than you thought, the team deals with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't say, let's renegotiate. This is the same thing. Phil Mickelson knew what he was getting into when he joined the PGA Tour, right? We all agree with that?
Yes.
So now why? Now he's complaining about it, that he wants to use it. Like, listen, I think it's a little bit ridiculous that he can't put a meme of his likeness when he's playing in the PGA tournament on his Instagram or whatever. I think that's absurd. But guess what? Don't in midstream say, I don't want to do it. You agree to it eventually. I mean, in the beginning, right? Mickelson, man, I don't know, man. Look, I have a bad relationship with him. It wasn't a big relationship, but I had a bad relationship with him. But I see how he treats kids, and he signs autographs and everything. So I'll give it up to him for all that. Then he comes out and says some of the things, Skinny. I mean, you're a huge golfer. What'd you think, Skinny?
I can't. I've never liked him. I can't stand him. And this, to me, this is just part of the problem because, I mean, he has made so much money from that tour. And listen, it's because he was so talented. There's no doubt about it. But you can't just kind of have your cake and eat it too, and to jump in bed with the Saudis. To try to force some kind of leverage that just frankly isn't there. It's kind of par for the course for me with Phil, because about the time you start going, okay, you know what, he's not that bad. It was incredible to win a major at 52. And like, I softened my stance on him a little bit. And then he does this, and it's like, nope, this is why I haven't liked him his entire career.
Well, I will say this. One good thing, at least he brought up the atrocities that are happening in Saudi Arabia. At least he did, because there's a bunch of people that won't bring up the atrocities that are happening in China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll just say NBA, NBA, NBA. You know, so at least he did bring them up. But I don't know, man. He's a weird dude, man. He really is. Although I got to tell you, I probably would like to gamble with him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, if you put like a mask over his face and he was somebody else and I didn't know it was him, it would probably be pretty cool to sit in a sports book. And when I went up and bet 330 to win 300, he'd bet 330,000 to win 300,000. So
yes.
A little bit different.
With the college football playoff, all that news kind of broke after we got on the air on Friday. I heard you talking about it. My question is this. For the other conferences, you're not getting in. Pac-12, quite frankly, if OU Texas leave, I think the new Big 12 would have a tough time in a 4-team playoff. The ACC is so lucky that Clemson came along when they did. But the fear, it seems like to me, is, well, the SEC will get 4. The SEC will get 5. Well, they're getting 2 out of 4 right now. So if they only get 4, 4 out of 12 is just a third of it, and you're guaranteed a spot if you're those other conferences. I just don't get it. And then I heard today it's costing them almost $450 million for all the conferences to not do this early. It just seems like it makes bad financial sense, and it's just to spite somebody because they hurt your feelings when they made the move to get OU in Texas.
This is a great, you know, if you have children, I know, now how old are all y'all children? Give me the ages.
Mine is 11.
8 and 5.
Okay. They're a little bit young at 8 and 5. 11, if you have kids around 11, 12, 13, 14, and they're sports fans, this is a great lesson to teach your children, okay? You don't do things out of emotional spite. You don't do it. you'll get in trouble just about every single time. And that's what's happening here. They look absolutely ridiculous, okay? And, of course, they're losing a bunch of money. I mean, did anybody think they were? I didn't know it was going to be that much. But, of course, they're going to lose a bunch of money. They got a chance to have an incredible deal. And, you know, look, what Tim just said is exactly right. You go to 12 teams, the Pac-12, I know the Pac-12's not getting anybody in. Now they'll be able to get somebody in for sure if they go to 12 teams. And probably there'll be less teams, you know, per capita, but you know what I mean, for the SEC. Here's another question, too, and I know OU fans can't be safe. Here's a question I was thinking about this weekend. If this thing splits up and it's 14, who has a better chance of getting the playoff, OU or OSU?
Provided that Oklahoma actually goes to the SEC at 4.
They go to the SEC, the 14 playoff stays. Who has a better chance to go to the playoff, OU or OSU?
I think OSU, if they stay in this with this conference that's building. Yeah.
I mean, I know.
It's an easier road.
Those words that come out of anybody's mouth are mind-boggling, okay? But I think it's true. I think OSU has a better chance to go to the Final Four, if it stays at 4, in the new Big 12, than OU will if they go to the SEC. Am I right, Skinny? I mean, you have
I'm trying to think.
I know you fan those words out of your mouth are really hard.
No.
Am I right?
I'm trying to think because for OSU, the lack of prestige in the new Big 12 without those two, they'd have zero margin for error, right? I mean, it'd almost have to be undefeated. Whereas Oklahoma would get the SEC bump, but also they'd have to finish with one loss in the SEC, and I don't know if that's possible right now. And so,
well, I will say this: if OSU were to lose a game in October and then run all the way through and win it, they could get in. I mean, I truly believe because the conference isn't going to be horrific.
Right.
I mean, it'll be a decent conference, but I think OSU has a better chance. I really do. I'm not ripping on OU. Am I saying that OSU is better than OU? Of course not. I'm just saying that I think OSU will have a better chance to get in to the Final Four than OU if it goes the way it is right now. Now, obviously, if they go to 8 or 12, then obviously it's OU.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, man, I think OU's going to have a hard time if it's 14. I know that a lot of OU fans, oh, we'll go anywhere and we'll beat anybody. Okay, I mean, you might. I'm not saying you won't. But OSU, I just think OSU will have a better chance in that league that they're going to be in because, as we talked about, OSU's the best program. I think OSU's the best program in that league. I don't know how anybody can argue that right now. They're the best program in that league, the new league.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. I guess for me, if it's next year or the year after, I think it's definitely OSU because Oklahoma doesn't feel like they are ready to go into the SEC with all the massive changes that happen over since the last football game was played. Now, give them two years and let's kind of see where their footing is because I believe from the very start of this that Oklahoma is going to be playing in the SEC this coming year. And that clearly didn't happen. And now the further away you get, and with this announcement on Friday, do Oklahoma and Texas stay throughout their grant of rights contract? What is that, the 2025 season? Are they still in this league? You wouldn't think so. It doesn't make any sense. But financially, yeah. And maybe they have to now.
I think that they certainly look at slowing the process down. I mean, that's what I would say. In other words, I would go when I absolutely have to. But I don't know, man. The whole thing is so messed up, and I just can't believe that there's people. I cannot believe that people would want to upset other people just so that they can get at them when they're not doing the right thing for them. That's basically what's happening. They're not doing the right thing for themselves. It's just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, hurting yourself to try to just make somebody else. Like Sankey said walking out of that meeting, before the OU and Texas announcement, everybody was on the same page and couldn't wait to get it done. And so what changed to make the level of animosity where it is right now? The only thing that changed was that.
No, you're right. And I'm wondering, when they were done with their meeting, did they all, shake hands and go, yeah, we got them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We got them now. Look at them. They're running. You know what?
Heineke down there is just going, okay, what are you going to do? We'll
form our own daggone playoff.
You do whatever you want to do. We're
by far the great. Let me say something, too. If I'm Clemson, I said this on Friday. Yeah. If I'm Clemson, I'm calling Florida State up and go, hey, you want to go with us over to the SEC because we're ready. I'm done with this league. And then if Florida State says no, then I call Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious, man. I mean, why would I want to be in the – what is the ACC doing? I told Trammell the other night, you might have heard me, if Dabo Swinney would have never been born, the ACC would have never gotten into the daggone tournament. Seriously. I mean, Dabo Swinney is the only reason why Clemson has gotten to where they've gotten. Everybody else in that league isn't any good. And they're like trying to wield power.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is just beyond belief for me, these idiots. And you know what? It's for everybody hurts. Tell me real quick before we go. I know we're really late.
That's right.
Tell me before we go. Tell me one person that is bad to go to 8 to 12 teams. Can you give me somebody that's bad to go to 8 or 12 teams?
No.
I don't know. Jared, you got somebody that's bad for? Who's it bad for?
I can't think of anybody.
Okay, there you go. The only person would be is if somebody who hates college football.
I'm going to say some of the college football writers that didn't want a season back a couple of years ago, because they clearly don't like the sport, even though they cover it. Here's another.
Or maybe my wife, because I watch too much football as it is.
Well, that's true. Yeah, there would be wives out there that would be happy. No, I mean maybe some of the presidents that live in their glass houses.
Yeah.
And don't realize how important football is. But, yeah, this is a mind-boggling thing. I've never seen it's like we have children running the situation. That's what's happening.
I know we're late, but where do you think Notre Dame is on this? Because you mentioned Florida State and Miami with Clemson. What about it? Where's Notre Dame? Would they be willing to go with Clemson?
Notre Dame's going to do whatever's good for Notre Dame. Notre Dame would like to basically stay where they are. They've got it the best of anybody, don't they? I mean, they're no conference. They get to play in a horrible conference, you know, horrible conference games.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they go 11-1, guaranteed 12-0, they're probably going to get in the playoffs. So Notre Dame just wants to stay where they are. Notre Dame wouldn't want anything to change. They're not going anywhere. Unless the SEC takes over and says, sorry, Notre Dame, we're not going to let you do that anymore. Then...
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to be scrambling. And then they're going to be really mad at the Pac-12 and the ACC.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If the SEC says, okay, this is great, we'll just do our own thing. You would think the Big 12 would go with them because they don't really have a partner necessarily. And the culture of the Big 12 is more like the SEC as far as love and football and all that. So if the alliance on the other side ruined everything, I wonder where Notre Dame would be if the chips were going to start crumbling down and the ACC, Big Ten, the Pac-12 are going to be one side of it and Big 12 and SEC were the other. I wonder where they would land.
I think that they would, you know, Notre Dame, you know who they're going to land with? The winner.
Yeah.
That's where they're going to land.
That's who they are.
That's what they are. I know a lot of people out here, all the Baptists and everybody in Oklahoma don't understand what this school is really about. They just can't stand them because they beat OU, you know?
Yeah.
But Notre Dame is a powerhouse back east. Powerhouse. So, yeah. Notre Dame will end up whoever the winner. They'll be with the winner, guaranteed.
All right,
I promise you this. They're not going to be with the daggone ACC and the Pac-12.
No.
I can promise you that.
No
way. They're either with the Big 12, Big 10, or they're going to be with the SEC. One or the other.
Yep, 100% agree. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Can't wait to hear your thoughts throughout the day today, starting at 2 o'clock.
All right, fellas, thanks.
Thank you so much. The Ultimate Jim Traber joining us on a Monday, as he does most each and every Monday. By the way, Jared, we are way late, but whatever. What are we going to do? We've buried the lead of the show.
Whose birthday today?
Nope.
Okay. What's the lead?
The lead is you.
Oh.
Won an award on Friday. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
The OAB Newscast of the Year. Jared Atha, 2 years in a row winning that award. This time you'll actually get to go to the banquet and accept it because it's going to be in person.
Be in person, that's right.
So congratulations. Yeah. And
we
won as well.
Yeah.
Big Elk TV streaming sports, the best in the state of Oklahoma.
We won for our football broadcast.
Football broadcast against Grove.
Yeah.
So
that was a team effort there, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, so many people involved in that one. But that was one we were after, right?
Yes.
That was one we wanted.
Well,
thanks for the kind words.
Absolutely. Congratulations. I know how much hard work you put into that every day.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody. Literally. I mean, we started it from nothing.
Really?
There's everybody. Everybody in this building had something to do with Big Elk TV at some point.
Yes.
And so, it's like a station-wide award.
It's a good award.
We're just the lucky ones to be in the front of it.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.